I want to talk to you today on the subject of prayer and the timing of God. And the timing of God is better than the timing of my computer because it's just not working this morning. But turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 65, or just look up on the screen, it might be easier. I want to read verse 24, which is an incredible verse of Scripture. It says, "Before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear." I want you to notice what God is saying here. He's saying the answer has already been given. He's just waiting on the call. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Before you call, He's already answered. And He says, while you're still speaking, I will hear. This is amazing to me because this passage of Scripture tells me that God has provided everything we need before we even ask. And yet He still has decreed this thing we call prayer. Amen? The will of God has already been decreed for our life. And God has done everything you need for the things you need. And all we have to do is exercise our faith through prayer. And God says, I've done all the hard work. All you got to do is reach up and grab it through prayer. And then you'll see it manifest in your life. You know, I love the pages of the Old Testament. Last week I shared with you from the story of the prophet Hosea. And the only Hispanic prophet in the Bible is Hosea. And this weekend I'm going to, I was getting ready for a meeting yesterday with my Israel group. We have 26 people going to the Holy Land with me. Including me this year, and so we were getting ready for that. And I was going through some of the pictures that I'm showing the slide presentation, and I came to a picture of our group on Mount Carmel, and it was just one of those moments where I had a flashback of one of my favorite places in Israel, and that's what's called Mount Carmel. It's where Elijah the prophet called down fire from heaven. It's where he slew the prophets of Baal. It's where the power of God was displayed to the world. And it's also where he prayed for rain, that the Lord would not make it rain. And he didn't make it rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it would rain. And then it came a bucketful. Now turn with me or look at the screen to Isaiah. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. We're going to look at the story. It's 1 Kings chapter 17. And the very first verse of 1 Kings 17. Look what it says. Now Elijah the Tishbite, from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years, except at my word." There's so many times I read this story, and I've always thought it was just the rain. And God said it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. But notice what He said: not even the dew. Have you ever gone out in the early morning and grass is just all wet as God supernaturally waters it with the dew? They didn't even have that. Can you imagine how dry and how parched the land was with no rain and no dew for 3.5 years? And then you go to the next chapter, in chapter 18, verse 1, and this says this: "After a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land.' So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab." It's hard to believe both of those statements were by the same person. One chapter apart, here God says there's not going to be any rain. I'm going to close up the heavens, and it's not going to rain. And then you come to chapter 18, and God says, "Go tell Ahab to get ready, because it's going to rain." Now, rain's not a big deal in Rockford. We've had a lot of it lately. But in Israel, it's a big deal. You'll see, those of you going with me to the Holy Land this year, you'll see that Israel, they capture every drop of rain. Even in the desert, they have it come off the mountains, and they dig little tunnels where it'll go into a cistern, and they capture every drop of rain because it's so important. It's a desert climate, and they're a farming community. So what do? They recognize that rain is a blessing from God. Here in Rockford, we think it's a curse. Floods our streets. But I want you to know that before Elijah ever told Ahab about the rain going to be stopped, God had already forewarned Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 11. Let me read this passage to you. This is what God told Israel. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, your new wine and oil, and I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will be burned against you, and He will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. Notice the connection here between the rain and idolatry. God is saying, if you follow me, the Lord your God, with all your heart, with all your strength and all your soul, then I'm going to let it rain and I'm going to let your crops be bountiful and you're going to be blessed. But if you turn away from God and worship false gods, I'll shut the heavens and you're going to pay a price. So I want you to know, when Elijah, at this point in his ministry, he was fighting against idolatry. The prophets of Baal were there. And you know what? Elijah had this showdown. He said, you know, you come and you know, if you let rain down fire, then your God is God. If I rain down fire, then my God is God. And we'll worship Him. You know the story. But it was all about idolatry. God was saying, I'm jealous. You've turned from me to love another. You're worshiping images of stone and clay and not worshiping the Lord your God. You might have just thought Elijah just didn't like Ahab's political party. And so he walks in one day and says, it ain't going to rain until I give the okay. Imagine what Donald Trump would do if they said that. Hey, there's a bald guy out here, stocky man, he's wanting to meet with you. Donald says, I know him. I listen to him on the internet. Said, send Pastor Manley in here. And I go in and say, Mr. Trump, it's not going to rain in America until I give the okay. That's what happened here. I mean, it wasn't me and Mr. Trump, but it was Elijah and Ahab. Don't you know Ahab said, say what? You tell me you control the rain? You tell me you're in charge and not me? There is a connection between knowing the Word of God and having a powerful prayer life. You see, when Elijah went in and said that to Ahab, he said that with the full authority of God's Word. You getting this? He didn't just pull it out of a hat. You have to go back to Deuteronomy and say he was praying the Word of God. He knew that when Israel turned from God, God would shut the heavens and there would be no rain. So listen, church. Knowing the Word of God and having a powerful prayer life, there is a big connection there. Getting your prayers heard and answered. Some people never take the time to get into God's Word and dig out His will for their life, so they're constantly praying, bless me, Jesus. Bless me, Lord. Come on, Lord. Bless my finances. Bless my health. Bless my family. God's up there going, did you ever open my book? It's a love letter I wrote for you. Do you ever open it? Do you see the authority that I gave you where you can, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed down here on earth. Come on. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, it says this. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Before we go to the picnic, I'd just like to hear all your sins. How would you like to have that job with the guy that's in the little booth at the Catholic Church and he just listens to everybody's sins? I can't imagine me. I would be going, dude, did you really do that? Man, you're wicked. Stay away from the offering bucket. I believe what God's telling us here is when I sin against my brother, don't go confess that to God. Go confess it to my brother. That's what he's talking about. Then you can be healed. See, so many times people want to rip people to shreds and then go ask God for forgiveness. No, go to your brother. and confess your sins to each other so that you may be healed. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. For those of you speaking the Queen's English, the King James says it this way: the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It means when you have a connection between righteous and prayer, it's going to work. This is the awesome prayer verse that we quote so many times. Did you ever read the next verse? Look at verse 17 and 18. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is just my personal opinion. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to go, really? I could have asked, and you would have done this? Lord, I have that authority? I mean, you were just waiting on me to reach up and grab it? Come on. You might be saying today, Pastor Keith, it didn't say it in 1 Kings that Elijah prayed. It just said he went in and talked to Ahab. Well, he didn't tell us everything, but I guarantee you, before he went in there, he prayed. If he didn't, he prayed when he left. Lord, please let it don't rain or my head is going to be cut off. Come on. And then 3.5 years later, again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Listen, what Elijah was concerned about was the same thing God was concerned about, and that was the sin of idolatry. The change with the rain came when the problem was addressed on Mount Carmel. See, they had a great revival. I love to go there on Mount Carmel. We go on the top of a monastery, and there's a rooftop area, a balcony that we go out and we look over the Jezreel Valley where Elijah was. And it's amazing because I can always feel a wind up there. And when I read the scriptures and read that story, it's like you could just hear, where is the Lord God of Elijah? You can hear him calling down fire from heaven. Maybe you're still sitting there thinking, if God already said it back in Deuteronomy, then why did Elijah need to pray about it? Because for some reason, God has decreed prayer as a point of contact for his will to be manifest upon the earth. Amen. He tells us, ask and it shall be given. Knock and the door will be opened. Seek and you will find. So God has decreed his will for your life, and all that provision is sitting up there in heaven waiting for you. And God's saying, now pray.
That's right.
Ask. Yes. Knock. How many have had God answer some pretty powerful prayers in your life? You know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
James tells us Elijah was a man of like passions. And he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain. You know what that is? Let me give you the Keith translation. If it worked for him, it'll work for you. If the same God who did it for Elijah, he'll do it for you. Now let's look back at the story and get some of the details. I'm not going to keep you long today, because I can hear your stomachs growling from up here. Look at chapter 18, verse 41. God had just told him to go tell Ahab it's going to rain. Now can you imagine 3.5 years, not a single drop, not a bit of dew. Elijah walks into Ahab's palace, and or wherever he's at, Mount Carmel here, and he goes over to him and he says, hey, King, God's told me it's going to rain, so get ready. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of heavy rain. Now, do you know there was not a cloud in the sky when he said that? Do you know there was no thunder, no lightning? That the sky was totally clear, and yet here's Elijah hearing something that only he hears. He said, there is the sound of heavy rain. I'm going to tell you something, church. Faith will cause you to see things others don't see. Faith will cause you to hear things that the world is not hearing. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you're close to God, the closer you are to him, the more you'll hear what other people aren't hearing. You'll hear God's will. People want to have their cake and eat it too. They want to hear God, but they don't want to be close to God. They want to keep their distance, but it doesn't work that way. You've heard me say many times, 90% of the time when we miss it with God, it's in the area of timing. It's not that God doesn't want to do this in your life. It's finding the timing. See, that's what I'm talking about today is prayer and the timing of God. God has perfect timing. Do you know He's never late? It feels like it. Because He comes through at 11:59, right as you're just about to turn into a pumpkin. That's when God comes through. For me, He does. He waits till we're... He wants me to see that it wasn't me, and He wants me to know it was Him, so He waits just till the last minute, and boom, He comes through for me. That's a word for somebody in here. You're waiting on God, and you're thinking He said no. Listen, it's His timing. We need to have a place where we can get along with God. You have a prayer room, prayer closet, somewhere you go, you can get away from God. I often worry about busy moms who, are taking care of all these kids and taking care of cooking meals and doing all this. And it's hard to find that time to get alone, a place to even get alone. Look at verse 42. He tells Ahab, go eat and get ready because I hear the sound of rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Now, I would really like to assume that position, but I have been in such pain since last night. All of a sudden, for some reason, my hip and all my joints, everything got really painful. But I'm trying to see this position. Elijah bends down and puts his... I can't go more than 90 degrees, right? Okay, here. If you go more than 90 degrees, my hip will pop out, and I'll look so funny. So you get down, he's 90, he's get down, and he puts his head down between his knees. Now, that looks funny. You back there laughing at me, I know. Should imagine me 30 pounds ago trying to do that. Do you see what position that is? Somebody back there going, looks like you're about to go to the bathroom. No. Back in the days of Elijah the prophet, that was the position where women gave birth. Did you know that? There were no stirrups. There were no hospitals. They would get down like this and push. And say, push. And the baby would come. You know what I believe? I believe Elijah was given birth to a prayer that's getting ready to be answered right there. He's in the prayer position. You ever notice sometimes when you're really travailing in prayer, it's almost like childbirth? I mean, it's like you're wanting so bad to have that child come forth. By the way, while I'm talking about childbirth, I'm going to be a grandpa. Next year, but I knew my daughter Sarah was going to be having a baby. Michelle's sticking with Toby, but I happen to believe it's going to be a little girl. We'll see if it's I'll accept him if it's a boy too, as long as he behaves. Has anyone here ever been travailing in prayer and it literally took everything within you to just get out what you had to say to God? The prayer is work. I don't know if any of you ever been to an all-night prayer meeting. I have, and you talk about work. It was harder to do that than to go and work 8 hours of a day. If you're praying right, prayer can be travailing. Look at verse 43. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. That's probably Gehazi. And he went and looked. There is nothing there. And he said, 7 times Elijah said, go back. I want to paint a picture for you this morning. The prophet of God knows in his spirit that it's getting ready to rain. It's been dry for him too. It's been hard for him. And he tells his servant, go out there and tell me what you see. If you see any clouds in the sky. He goes out and looks and he comes back and says, there ain't a cloud in the sky. Go back. Okay, if you say so. I don't think it's changed for 5 minutes, but he goes back. He looks up in the sky. Not a thing. Sorry, prophet. Not a single cloud. Go back again. Goes back. Go back again. Go back again. Go back again. And he does that for 7 times. You talk about persistence. A lot of people give up. The minute they have a negative report, and the minute there's nothing manifest, they give up. Elijah, you talk about somebody that don't take no for an answer. Go out there and look toward the sea. Tell me what you see. I think God was up in heaven just smiling, saying, "That's my boy. That's my boy. He knows that I'm going to send the rain." Glad God didn't make him do it 70 times. Then notice verse 44. The seventh time. Seven is God's number of completion, by the way. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. You talk about a tiny partial answer to your prayer. We didn't get rain yet, but we got a cloud the size of a man's hand. That's all Elijah needed. He broke out in the Holy Ghost dance. What's wrong here, dude? He broke out in the dance and went to worshiping and praising God. Whew. You getting this? And he tells his servant, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. That took faith, church. The moment he saw the tiny cloud the size of a man's hand, he sends his servant to tell Ahab, you better get home. It's 15 miles for you to get home. And I'm telling you what, it's coming, a thunderstorm, a storm like you've never seen. I can just imagine his servant saying to him, excuse me, old prophet, shouldn't we wait till there's a little bigger cloud? Let's not tell Ahab. Let's not get the cart before the horses. He didn't hear any thunder, but he was standing on God's word, and God had told him it was going to rain. So it didn't matter what it looked like. What mattered was what God said. I'm going to tell you, church, you need to stand on what God said in his word and not what it looks like. There's times in my life that when I look at what it looks like, it can be very discouraging. But I stand on God's word. What he's told me. Meanwhile, I like that word. It's kind of like a backwards therefore. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, and the wind rose. A heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. Now, Ahab had a chariot, and he had horses. And he's heading off for that 15 miles with his chariot and with his horses. But I want you to notice verse 46. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Look at this old boy. He takes his cloak and tucks it into his belt, and then he just gets it. He's a marathon runner. But he outruns the horses. This old boy outruns the horses and the chariots. You know what that made me think of? What the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 40, verse 1. But those who wait for the Lord's help find renewed strength. They rise up as if they had eagle's wings. They run without growing weary, and they walk without getting tired. Doesn't matter how old you are. When God gets a hold of you, he'll give you new strength. Come on, somebody. Amen. Remember the story of Joshua and Caleb when they came back into the promised land? And they were the only two that had been faithful and said, Lord, we can take this land. Come on, Israel, we can take this land. 45 years later, everybody's died except those two men, Joshua and Caleb. They go into the promised land. Joshua says, now, Caleb, you get your choice of where you, what land you want because you were the faithful one. Caleb says, give me that mountain over there where the giants are. I want that mountain. And somebody says, excuse me, Mr. Caleb, those giants are big and you don't have an army. You sure you want that mountain? This is what he says. I was 40 years old when we came in to spy out the land. I'm 85 now. But I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. Give me my mountain. Remember that?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. I want you to know, when I started this thing, Grace Family Church, 34 years ago, I was young. Man, I had hair. And I'm old now. Not compared to Ron, but I'm old now. But I'm just as strong. I love to preach more than I ever loved, even back when I was 26 years old when we started Grace Family Church around the world. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to close with a story. 2 years ago, I was going to bring my little floor badge and stuff in to show you, but tell you what the date was. But it was a few years ago, I was invited by Congressman Chuck Jefferson to go to Illinois House of Representatives in Springfield. And they invited me to come in, open the House of Representatives in prayer. And it was a big deal. I even wore a suit and tie.
Wow.
Yeah. Kathy and I wanted to get there early. It was first thing the next morning. I had to be on the floor of the House. And we would meet with the congressman and representative. Kathy had a personal assistant that would take her up in the balcony to watch this. We get there, I think it was Monday morning that we were doing this. We get there on like Sunday night. We check into a hotel. It's about 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, I panicked because I realized I didn't have my CPAP machine. Now, for 20 years, I've slept with a machine and a mask on my face. I could not fall asleep, not for a minute. But I'm 62 times an hour, I quit breathing for as long as 2 minutes a session. So we get there and realize I don't have a CPAP. How am I going? I won't be able to go to sleep. I've got to open the house in prayer the next morning. I'm so upset at this point. I start calling I call the hospital first to see if I could get a machine. I call all the home health care places. I call the one clear back in Rockford. Somebody said, you don't have a prescription. So I called my doctor and got him out of bed and had him go to his office and fax me a prescription to the hotel. I'm glad he was my friend. Notice I said he was my friend. But then they wouldn't take the prescription, and they said, no, we can't do this. Sorry, you're out of luck. Kathy was on her cell phone calling some. I was calling them on my phone. We went all the way down the list, and I've just given up. We prayed and said, God, you got to do something here. In the natural, it looks impossible. All of a sudden, I see Kathy's face light up. She's talking to somebody. Oh, you are? Oh, you will? Yeah. Oh, okay. I said, what's going on? She said, there's a guy, I just got a hold of him, and he's just down the street, and he has the machine that you need, and he has the mask that you need, and he'll be here in 15 minutes. 15 minutes, there's a knock on the hotel door. I open the door, this man walks in. He's got the exact machine that I need in his hands. It took a special mask because of my facial hair to this certain mask that I had to have. In my size, he walks in with this mask. He opens it up. He gets everything all set out. Now, listen to this. I pull out my insurance card, and I say, here's my card. And he says, no. He says, tomorrow morning, when you wake up, take this machine and mask and everything and take it to the front desk. Give it to the man, and this transaction will have never occurred. I said, wait, I have insurance that you can never resell this mask once it's open. You just lost a couple hundred dollars. This machine can no longer be sold as a new machine. Charge it to my insurance. He looked at me and said, this was an emergency. And put it at the front desk, and this transaction will have never occurred. The hair, as he walked out the door, the hair just stood up on my arms. And then I couldn't sleep the whole night because I kept saying, Kathy, we just saw an angel. That had to be an angel. The weirdest thing was this transaction will have never occurred. Well, it occurred for me.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, man. Next morning I went up. shook hands with Michael Madigan at the podium. I said, "Mr. Madigan, my congregation felt rather than an opening prayer, an exorcism would be more appropriate since four of our last eight governors went to prison." He said, "Reverend, I think you have a point there." Listen to me today. Prayer literally unlocks what it is you need in heaven. Jesus told us, "I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose, it'll be loosed up there." You getting this today? I know some of you today have great needs in your life. I'm going to do an altar call. I know we have a busy day, but I do want to pray for you. Just a minute, everyone, bow your heads. No one's looking around. I wonder if there's anybody here today who would say, "Pastor Keith, I've been waiting so long for God to answer my prayer that if I've become weary, and the enemy has tried to tell me that God's forgotten about me and the need that I have." Would you put your hand up and put it right back down? Thank you, sir. Thank you. So many. All across the room. All across the room. Father God, you saw every hand that went up. And I know you're the same God that heard Elijah's prayer and you made it brand new again. So Father, I pray for every man, every woman, every young person in the building that raised their hand today, signifying that they've been waiting on you. God, we no longer are waiting on you. Now we reach up into heaven with our prayers. And we thank you that you hear us before we even ask. You have already determined and decreed your will in our life. So right now, I loose healing to flow into every one of those persons that raised their hand that need healing. For those who needed financial miracles, in the name of Jesus, I loose finances in heaven that they would be loosed here on earth. God, for those who have broken relationships and it's grieving their heart because of family members and a broken relationship, in the name of Jesus, I loose that to flow into their life right now. I decree it in the name of Jesus. You gave us authority. So we believe you now for it. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. And amen. Did you enjoy the word today?
Amen. Thank you, Lord.